And we turn now to preparations to cover a potential war with Iraq. Ever since Vietnam, the military has tried different ideas to deal with reporters. In Grenada, the press was excluded altogether. After protests, the Pentagon adopted the media pool system, which was bitterly criticized in Panama and in Desert Storm. There was no system in Afghanistan. That was criticized, too. Now the Pentagon is training correspondents who hope to be assigned to combat units.
We will now demonstrate, step by step, react to contact and break contact battle drill. You'll note that in the squad there's a soldier posing as a reporter. I now direct your attention to my demonstrators.
If you have questions about what's being taught, what reporters are learning, and how that might affect the way a war might be reported, give us a phone call. Our number again, 800-989-8255. NPR's John Burnett just returned home to Texas after going through the media boot camp in Fort Benning, Georgia. John, always good to talk to you.
Great to be here, Neil.
How long did it take?
We were there for about 5.5 days, a couple of weeks before Christmas, and it was... from very early in the morning to very late at night. Tremendous amount of information.
Now, we think of boot camp, basic training, and think of a lot of strenuous physical demands, 10-mile hikes, that sort of thing. Now, a lot of reporters are not exactly the same age or in the same shape as 18-year-old recruits.
And I think part of what was going on was the Pentagon wanted us to self-select, to decide which reporters wanted to embed, as they say, with a military unit, because they really wanted to drive home in the boot camp that we went to that this is going to be somewhat rigorous. They put us on a 5-mile foot march with packs, which is nothing compared to what they do in basic training. But for some of the journalists, it was something. There was learning cover and concealment techniques under some mock machine gun fire, low crawls, crawling on knees and elbows.
While they're encouraging you by firing those machine guns over your head.
And it's like a grown-up game of laser tag. They have these remarkable vests that you put on your the Kevlar helmets as well as you hang over yourself. It's called a mile system, and when you get hit by one of these mock machine gun firing blanks, it goes beep 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 beep, and it shows you that, and then they pull a card and it tells you how seriously you've been injured, and then the combat medics come and treat you. It's an amazing game of role-playing.
If you wanted to see photos from John's experience at Fort Benning, you can go to our website, which is www.npr.org. It's linked off the main npr.org page and off the TOTN show page. So either place you go, you can see pictures of what happened with John in Fort Benning. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. John, you mentioned the word embed. What's the idea of embedding reporters in a unit?
Well, the idea is that, as you said in the intro, journalists have been complaining for some time that the Department of Defense has been excluding us from a real front row seat to these military operations. It certainly happened in Afghanistan, except for a lucky few who got to embed with the units. Journalists have been asking to use us to actually see the fighting, to cover what the men and women in the armed forces are actually doing on a day-to-day basis in these operations, not just to depend on the spokesman. Their retelling of these accounts in a dry conference room, which invariably has happened a lot in the last few conflicts, from the last Gulf War all the way up to Afghanistan. And so the idea of the Pentagon is to respond to this request by all the news organizations to actually put reporters with the active military units, with these frontline troops. And if you believe Brian Whitman, the Deputy Undersecretary of Public Affairs, who's been speaking to this, he uses the word saturation, several hundred reporters, which could be sent with troops in an invasion of Iraq.
Let's get some listeners involved and talk with Charles, who joins us from McLean, Virginia.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was always concerned about the media's role in covering war, specifically in the Somalia conflict. I remember watching on CNN as the troops came ashore, and I always thought that put our forces at tremendous risk. I'd like to hear your caller's comments on how we can prevent that in the future and still get good press coverage of the conflict.
John, well, obviously the Somalia situation was unlike what you may be looking towards with the possible conflict with Iraq, but responsibilities of the media certainly have to be uppermost in your one of the things. It's uppermost in your thoughts.
We talked a lot about this, the journalists did, about what the ethics are of covering a military operation, and do you wear a uniform? In some cases, do you even carry a weapon if it's if the unit comes under fire? How close do you get to the action of the troops, and at what point do you have to maintain your independence and your objectivity? And one of the veteran war correspondents who was there warned us that really the of all the physical dangers that a combat correspondent faces, really the overall threat is to tell yourself that I am not one of them. I must be independent. And how do you preserve that is something I think that every combat correspondent struggles with. I know what Charles is talking about. There was those surreal images of the correspondents on the beach as the troops were landing on it under the TV lights, and it was very strange indeed.
Yeah. Charles, thanks very much.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go now to Evelyn, and Evelyn is with us from San Francisco.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering whether this situation is going to become kind of like reality TV, where the reporters are traveling with the troops, and they get close, they get connected. If an American soldier dies, you know, it becomes, wow, John, you know, poor John, here's what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this sort of takes on an unreality. And my second question has to do with who's going to be covering the Iraqis that are dying, particularly when our journalists are so identified with the Americans.
Yeah, John?
Yeah, good question. On the one hand, there were embedded reporters in Vietnam, lest we forget. This is the way that war was covered, and that's one reason why there's been a backlash and such friction between the Pentagon and the press in the ensuing years, because they were so embedded, they covered even the things that the Pentagon wished hadn't been seen. So, I mean, I think that we have some precedents about how to cover these things. I think it's up to the responsibility of the news organization not to get maudlin about it, and I appreciate the caller's concern. As far as who covers the Iraqis, there's two kinds of reporters who cover these kinds of events. I've usually been in the role of the independent, where you're in country and you're covering the event from the outside. For instance, in Afghanistan, there were dozens and dozens of journalists in the countryside during Tora Bora and during Operation Anaconda. And sometimes it was very an insecure situation, trying to get out there and find out what the heck's going on. And then on the other side, you have journalists who are embedded with the unit. So I don't think it's an either-or situation. I do think that we'll get a better bird's-eye view of what actually is going on inside the unit. And
very quickly, John, would you have to submit scripts for censors?
That certainly wasn't talked about. We asked some of the Pentagon's spokespeople about that. I've not heard of it. Whether you would have to do that with the individual battalion commander, I suppose that would be an argument you'd have to have with him.
Okay. NPR's John Burnett, who just attended the boot camp for media in Fort Benning, Georgia. Thanks very much for talking with us, as always, John.
Glad to be here, Neil.
Okay, in Washington, I'm getting nervous already. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.